for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you.
with you. Let us pray. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, have mercy on us, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may so pass through things temporal that we lose not the things eternal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the 20th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 45th chapter. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped, to subdue nations before him and to loose the belts of kings, to open doors before him that gates may not be closed. I will go before you and level the exalted places. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hoards in secret places, that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen. I call you by name. I name you, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, though you do not know me, that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica, the first chapter. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his talk. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances. Tell us, then, what you think." Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, Whose likeness, image, and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us then, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who saved by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. From our gospel reading, Jesus said, "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." This is our text. When Jesus spoke those words, it was a mere matter of days before everything would come to a head. Something had to give. That's the situation Jesus is in as the Pharisees and the Herodians spring their trap. It's Holy Week. Tension is so high. And opinions about Jesus are varied, split. Everyone's wondering, how does Jesus' authority relate to the rule of Rome, to secular authority? We could ask a similar question. How do we Christians, for whom Jesus Christ is Lord, also live as faithful citizens in this world? Now, Jesus' opponents, the Pharisees and the Herodians, they don't give a fig about the answer to that what Jesus says, the answer to those questions. The only thing they want is to entangle Jesus, to trip him up. So they set a trap for our Lord. They lay out a snare to bring him down. And they bait that trap with flattery. "Teacher," they say, "oh, teacher, we know that you are true. We know that you teach the way of God truthfully. We know that you don't care about anyone's opinion. We know that you aren't swayed by appearances. Oh, teacher, tell us what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or no?" They think they've got him trapped. If he says, "No, don't pay taxes," then the Herodians will go to Pontius Pilate, to the Roman rulers, and he'll be in hot water with Rome. But if he says, "Yeah, you should pay taxes to Rome," then he'll be supporting Rome, and the Pharisees will be able to discredit Jesus with all the people. No one will believe that he is the Messiah. And it is a pretty good question, because we may wonder, what is Caesar doing with the money that we give for taxes? What is Caesar doing with our tax denarii? How is he ruling? And what if Caesar is evil? What if he's using our money against us, against the church, against God, and against his word? Do you pay Caesar when Caesar is using your denarii to fund things that are horrifying and abominable in God's sight? Maybe that's on your mind on occasion as well. The words that we hear today, the last words of Jesus, are so significant. His final statement. And yes, Jesus does teach the truth. And yes, Jesus is not swayed by appearances or by the opinions of others. And yes, Jesus can respond without getting trapped. "Therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Now, this is a command that Jesus gives to those who are listening, to us as well today. But as I was considering this statement during the week, what struck me is how Jesus puts his money where his mouth is. When Jesus says to render to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, he is about to do that very thing. Jesus renders to Caesar what is Caesar's, and Jesus renders to God what is God's, so that he might set us free to be God's, and also to render to Caesar. But what does it mean to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's? Just what belongs to Caesar, the Roman emperor, and to those who are designated authorities under Caesar, whom he's appointed to govern? What belongs to our rulers and our governing authorities in this nation and in our states and in our local communities? Well, Jesus starts with what you have in your pocket, what you have in your purse or your wallet. Show me the coin that you're carrying around for the tax. Bring out a penny or a nickel or a dime, whatever it might be. And they bring him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose likeness, whose image, whose inscription is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar's." It's the image of Tiberius Caesar, of course, the emperor in Rome. That's whose face is on our coin. And he said to them, Therefore, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay to all what is owed to them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed. That's what St. Paul also says. And along with taxes, what else do we owe to our rulers? We owe them honor and respect and obedient submission. These things are owed to them not because they're good people. These things are owed to them not because they deserve these things from us, but because God has permitted them to have and even has placed them into these positions of authority. It's striking that the reading from the prophet Isaiah today has Isaiah, the prophet, or God actually, through Isaiah, praising a pagan ruler, someone who's not a Jew, not an Israelite, whom God even says doesn't know him, a man by the name of Cyrus, king of Persia. In fact, God calls Cyrus his anointed, his chosen one, his vessel, whose right hand I have grasped. And God says that he will use even pagan rulers, even people who are not Christians, to punish wrongdoers, to bring justice, and to serve his people. It doesn't matter whether we like our rulers or agree with them. It doesn't even matter if our rulers are Christians or not. We are to honor and respect them and to submit to the offices they hold, with one exception, except when they command something in direct disobedience to God. Then, and only then, we must obey God rather than men. I wonder if sometimes we think that it's easier to honor, respect, and obey God than it is to honor, respect, and obey our earthly authorities. I suspect that some of us might say, oh, sure, I honor God, but it's really tough honoring our worldly rulers and authorities. But I wonder if it really is. Is it actually easier to show honor and respect to the person who stands in front of us, whose work we know and can see, than it is to show honor and respect to God? I think we're maybe deceiving ourselves if we think it's much easier, probably because we simply can't see God. We think it's easier to show him honor and respect and to obey him. Now, Jesus himself renders to Caesar what is Caesar's. Jesus himself, consider who he is. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is God in human flesh. And yet, when God becomes man, he still renders to Caesar what is Caesar's. He submits to the authorities. There's one interesting passage in the Gospel of Matthew when the people who are responsible for collecting the annual temple tax come to Peter and ask, or Jesus and Peter, and ask whether or not they pay the temple tax. Jesus says that they are free, but then he sends Peter fishing, and Peter catches a fish that has a shekel in its mouth. And with that, they pay the tax for both of them. Or consider also how Jesus shows respect and honor to the authorities. Later during the same week, when he has this conversation with the Pharisees and the Herodians, he'll be standing before Caesar's representative. On Good Friday, Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate, and he submits himself to the authority and judgment of Pilate. And what that means for Jesus is that even though he's innocent, even though he has done nothing wrong, even though he is undeserving, he will accept their cruel and unusual punishment. He will suffer and die on the cross. That's how far Jesus goes to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. With the cross before him, he does not assert his greater authority, and with the cross before him, he does not seek to escape their trap. Render to Caesar, and Jesus does. And render to God the things that are God's. You know, that's the most significant part of this saying, actually. Render to God the things that are God's. For Jesus, God is always looming in front of him. And if you consider his ministry, he spent his earthly ministry proclaiming the kingdom of God in his teaching and in his miracles. So what belongs to God? Well, when we asked what belongs to Caesar, Jesus pulled out had them pull out a coin and said, whose image is on it? So what bears the image and the likeness of God? Where can we find God's image? Adam and Eve were made in the image of God. Adam and Eve had the image of God in the beginning when the world was still in its pristine purity. But then we could say that Adam and Eve lost that image. If the image of God in the beginning was not just that they were made, but that they were made perfect like God, that they were made with original righteousness, and they were made to fear, love, and trust in God above all things, then Adam and Eve lose that aspect of the image of God when they sin. Though every human being, we still say, is created by God, and every human being, including you and me, are made for the image of God. But consider now Jesus. Adam and Eve, who had the image, in some sense lost the image of God. Consider Jesus standing before those Pharisees and those Herodians. Here is a man who once again perfectly possesses the image of God. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. He's been stamped with the image of the Father from eternity. He is also the perfect man, the man without sin, the man who will perfectly embody, perfectly live out the will of God. So when they are looking at Jesus, they are looking not at a person who was made in the image of God but has lost it. They are looking at the one who is a new Adam, like the first Adam, made in the image of God perfectly. So you might say that, well, they hand to Jesus a denarius stamped with the image of Caesar. Jesus is standing in front of them as a perfect coin stamped with the image of God. And even the inscription that is on Jesus are these words, "This is my beloved Son." So picture Jesus as a coin minted by God. And we can hear now God saying to Jesus, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and unto God what is God's." Jesus is the coin that will make the payment to God. Jesus is the one who is both the coin, and he is the one who spends the coin, as he is the priest and the sacrifice both. And Jesus has come to Jerusalem in order that he might render to God the things that are God's. He is in Jerusalem that he might fulfill all righteousness. And he is in Jerusalem to fulfill the scriptures, which are the Father's word. He's in Jerusalem that he might drink the cup of the Father's wrath, and thus make God's cause and God's forgiving grace win the victory. And after the trial that Jesus has before a ruler named Pontius Pilate, do you remember what the people said? They cried out, "Crucify him." Almost as if they were crying out about this one who is stamped with the image of God, crying out and saying, "Make him pay. Make him pay the price of claiming to be a king who competes with Caesar." You can almost hear the crowd crying when they say, "Crucify him," saying, "Render to God what is God's." The coin is to be spent. Jesus must die at the hand of Caesar. He must be crucified under Roman law. Being in the image of God, Jesus, and being in the image of God as both God and man, Jesus is without sin. He is perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father. But now the Father makes him who knew no sin to be sin for us. Now that second Adam, who remains perfect, is commanded to pay the price of mankind's sin. Now he is being told by his Father to render unto God what is God's. So the Son obeys. The coin, perfectly stamped with the image of God, is spent to pay for mankind's sins. The Son gives up himself. And what does it mean for you and me that Jesus has both rendered to Caesar what is Caesar's, and then rendered himself and his life and his righteousness perfectly to God as God's? It means that he has paid the price of our redemption. And it means that we in Jesus now have and become that righteousness of God. It means that now, because Jesus died and is risen for our justification, we have the image of God restored in us. You in Christ are stamped with the image of God. You in Christ are one who belongs to God. You, through your baptism, are one who bears the inscription, "This is my beloved Son." This is what Christ bought for us by his blood when he rendered himself to God. What it means is that you and I belong to God. Render to God what is God's. You belong to Him. And it's not simply a command that you are to render yourself to God. Certainly do that. But even more, it is a promise that Christ is the one who will render you to God, who will bring you before the Father in perfect pureness and holiness and righteousness and sanctification. Even now, what happens on Sunday morning, you could say, is Christ rendering you to God, bringing you through your baptism, through the absolution, bringing you through His body and blood to present you to the Father, so that on the last day, when He comes in glory, He may present you unblemished, pure, spotless, and holy before His Father in heaven. You belong to God, and so you are free to be one who is God's. And you are also free to render to Caesar the taxes and honor and respect and obedience due him in this world. And as we live in this world as faithful citizens, we are waiting for the Son to come from heaven. St. Paul said in Thessalonians that he has redeemed us from idolatry, and we are now waiting for the Son to return from heaven. Waiting for the one who even now renders us to God and promises to give us to God again in the end. This is the promise that we have from Him. This is the good news that belongs to us. We are God's, and Jesus is in the process, even now, through His gospel and through His holy sacraments, Jesus is in the process of giving us back to God. And so Jesus came to be the one who has rendered to Caesar what is Caesar's, and who renders to God what is God's, and who gives us back to His Father. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And for all people according to their needs. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us, that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth, that we may be preserved in the pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached in all the world. Grant health, prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this Commonwealth, and to all those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure, to maintain righteousness and hinder and punish wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries, that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit,
All who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity, especially Lizzie Knapp, Marson, Phyllis Hoffman, Robert Hunter, who is in hospice, Alethea Johnson, Gary Kengis, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Billy Kelly, Pastor Aaron Kodala, with thanksgiving for his return home, Reverend Dr. Brian Saunders, and Luann Trigo. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer for your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as their own. Protect all mothers with child and all unborn children, especially those in danger of abortion. Although we have deserved your righteous wrath and punishment, yet we ask you, O most merciful Father, not to remember the sins of our youth, nor our many transgressions. Out of your unspeakable goodness and mercy, defend us from all harm and danger to body and soul. Preserve us from false doctrine, from war and bloodshed, from plague and pestilence, from all calamity by fire and water, from hail and tempest, from failure of harvest and from famine, from anguish of heart and despair of your mercy, and from an evil death. In every time of trouble, show yourself a very present help, the Savior of all, especially of those who believe. Cause all needed fruits of the earth to prosper that we may enjoy them in due season. Give success to the Christian training of the young, to all lawful occupations on land, sea, and air, and to all pure arts and useful knowledge, crowning them with your blessing. Be with all husbands and wives, and especially grant great joy today to Gino and Linda as they celebrate their 51st anniversary. Now receive, O God, our bodies and souls and all our talents, together with the offerings we bring you. For by his blood, your Son has purchased us to be your own, that we may live under him in his kingdom. These and whatsoever other things you would have us ask of you, O God, grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
and body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for you. Take drink the true blood of Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Body of Christ given unto death for you. Take drink the blood of Christ shed for you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless me, the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.